You'll turn your Bibles to Second Thessalonians 2. When I started this study, I put this scripture in. I added it to what Brother Mosier had. We're still studying the eternal security of the believer, or 100 reasons and 100 scriptures proving eternal security by M.M. Mosier Sr. And we are at 81 today, this morning. We will finish this today. We've been getting about 10 points per message, and we will continue that and finish today. But we started, and I added this to his notes because I thought it was a good point to take off from. In 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 15, he says, "Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word or by epistle. Now the Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us eternal consolation," that is comfort, "and good hope through grace." And the Lord goes on to say, "Comfort your hearts and establish you in every good work, word and work." So the Lord tells us here that in Christ, we ought to give ourselves an everlasting comfort. That means to me to never concern ourselves with anything else. And good hope through grace, not through our own dealings, but through the dealings that God has given to us. On Wednesday night, we got down to point 81 of these 100. Actually, well, there's out of the 100. And I wanted to stop here because I wanted to start here because to me, point 81, as we sum up the last day of these messages, message 10 and 11, number 81 explains why we have eternal security, why we cannot be unborn, why we cannot be lost again. Point number 81 is the Father reckons the sinner. The Father reckons the sinner. Think about that word reckons. If you'll turn your Bibles to two passages of Scripture, John 6, and Ephesians 2, we're going to look at both of these. When we talk about reckons, that takes it out of our hands. Salvation never was by us. The only part we play in salvation is the gift we receive from the Father out of love, grace, and mercy. Salvation has nothing to do with us, except we are the receptacles of God's grace and love. Notice in Romans 6, verse 3, "Know you not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death?" The word reckons means that we are dead with Christ, we are buried with Christ, and we raised with Christ. Here the Father tells us that we were baptized into Jesus Christ in his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into his death. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in the newness of life. We're not baptized in water to be baptized. We're baptized into the likeness of Christ's death, buried with him. And just as he rose from the grave, we rise with him. And not that the baptism makes us walk in the newness of life, but the salvation does.
And therefore, when we come out of the waters, the next step is to walk in his likeness. He accomplished everything for us with his death, his burial, and his resurrection. That is the gospel. It is through that means that we are saved in Christ,
not in ourselves. Went on to say, for we have been planted together in the likeness of his death. We shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. A promise, isn't it? There it is. You'll notice all of the promises of God. Now, if you'll turn your Bible to Ephesians chapter 2. If you'll notice all the promises of God, that we are buried with him. We shall also, like manner, rise with him. Not the baptism, but the salvation. You can duck a dog, and that's not going to save it. You can duck a lost person 20 times. That's not going to save the lost person. But a saved person is baptized into his likeness. A demonstration of what he did for us to save our souls. Making us reckon with him. Ephesians 2, verse 4. He says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, God loved us. He don't love everybody. My article is about that this morning. John 3:16, where it says God so loved the world. He don't love everybody. It's a myth. It's a lie. Just like he can't change a person's will. It's all lies. But you who were sinners, still are, God loved you before you were saved. He loved you before you were ever born. He loved you before he ever created the world and sin ever came upon the scene. God the Father loved you and has quickened us together with Christ. With Christ. The same thing is in Christ. We have nothing to do with our salvation. We have no control over being saved. A lost person will never repent and come to Christ for salvation, ever, on their own. He goes on to say, for by grace you're saved. That's what it means. We are quickened, made alive together with Christ, and it's by grace. For by grace you're saved is an explanation of what he just said. Telling you that what you have in Christ is by grace. Before he gets to 8 and 9, where he tells you it's not of you. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. Not in ourselves, not because we worked a good work, not because we lived good lives, because we didn't. We only please the Lord in this life at all because of God's glory. If it's left up to us, we would not even be in church this morning. We wouldn't even read our Bible. We wouldn't pray. We wouldn't do anything. Amen. Not for the Lord, we would not. God causes us to do these things. I had to move on. 1 Corinthians 15. Now I want you to notice something in 1 Corinthians 15 Brother Moser brought out. I would never have ever thought of it on my own. But look real carefully at 1 Corinthians 15. verse 53. He says in 1 Corinthians 15, 53, "For this corruption must put on incorruption." Think about that. Let that soak in for a second. This corruption, talking about you and me, must put on incorruption. Can we do that on our own? No. You know, people think I exaggerate when I say we wouldn't go to church, we wouldn't read our Bible, we wouldn't, we'd get lazy. Please, can we give God credit where credit is due? He gives you the ability, He gives you the honor in your heart to serve Him. You add nothing to God. Everything you give to God, He gave to you to give it to Him. And in you, you must have went from corruptible to incorruptible. And He goes on to say, and this mortality must put on immortality. If you have put on incorruption, and that's a must, and put on immortality, and that's a must, then you have been cleansed for eternity, correct? You have been made holy once again, not in yourself, but in Christ. By the gift of the Father and the working of the Holy Spirit in your heart. Let's go to 84. Two scriptures here also. Matthew 28 and 1 Peter 1. Our 84th point is the reason that we have eternal security and we'll never lose it. The 84th point is because the power of God is not limited. Everything you have as a Christian, you have by the power of God. The Lord tells us not to think more highly of ourselves than we ought to. We really shouldn't. I know a lot of Christians pat themselves on the back and they'll tell you how strong a Christian they are. When Apostle Paul himself told us, he himself told us, "I am what I am by the grace of God." Recognizing that he is what he is by God's power. And God's power is not limited. He says in Matthew 28, verse 18 and 19, the Great Commission, he says, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." How much power has Jesus got? He's got all the power the Father has. Does that tell you? Does that assure you? Does that give you any guarantees in life? It sure does. It guarantees you that you will be a child of God when you die and leave this world and Jesus comes. Because you're not held by your power. Thank God. Thank God I'm not like the Pentecostals and the Catholics and the Church of Christ and all these non-denominationals. Thank God I don't think I can be lost after I'm saved. That wouldn't speak much of the power of God to save me, would it? And didn't Jesus promise not to lose a one? Not to lose a one. He says, all power is given to me in heaven and in earth. So he's speaking to the church here. Not to the 11 apostles, but he's speaking to the church. And he tells them, this power I'm giving to you, and I want you to go therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name and the In the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Why did he tell them that I got all power of my Father? Because I'm giving this power and authority to you. You take it, you go into the world and you exercise it. And you watch what the Father can do with it. You watch when grown men, he-men, giants in this world, fall to their knees before the Father like Saul of Tarsus. Cries, dear Lord, thank you for saving my soul. Thank you for all that you've done for me. Knowing it's what God gave them, they'll never be lost. 1 Peter 1. Who, verse 5. 1 Peter 1, 5. Who are kept by the power of God. You're not kept by your power. It's not up to you to live a good enough life to hope that you're on this giant merry-go-round and God will pull you off of it before he casts the whole thing into hell. You're not kept by your powers. We are naked before the Lord. We have nothing. No abilities. If we have them, he dumps us to re-educate us. If we have great powers, he weakens us in order to give us strength through Christ. So who are kept by the power of God through works. Don't say works does it. No, it says through faith unto salvation. Ready to be revealed in the last time. It don't sound like to me God's concerned about you running off, getting off the reservation. It don't sound like to me that God's too worried about you not being saved when Jesus comes again. Are you dying? You don't have anything to do with it. You had nothing to do with your salvation. You have nothing to do with your education. You have nothing to do with anything except to walk in the Word. And even God gives you that power. John 3. Number 85. John 3. Anybody have any idea what John 3 is talking about? Sure you do. You know exactly what John 3 is talking about, don't you? When Nicodemus came to Jesus and he wanted to know how to be born again. You know, Nicodemus, he sounds like he don't know a thing, doesn't he? He sounds as dumb as a stump, doesn't he? I've even said that in my messages before. Nicodemus came, he was dumb as a stump. Well, lost people are, aren't they? That's the reason we tell them about Jesus. They don't just come to the knowledge of Jesus. We're the ones carrying the gospel to the world. Lord put that in the church's hands, didn't he? In Matthew 28. We just read the scripture where he tells the church. He didn't tell us to go save sinners. He said to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Teaching them to observe all things. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He never told us anything else to do. You know what Nicodemus understood? The birth part.
Nicodemus answered to Jesus, how can a man go into the mother's womb and be born a second time? Most people don't catch that. Nicodemus understood when Jesus said, be born again. And your average person that's lost, and even some saved people, can't even understand that. It's plain as the day, as the nose on your face. Nicodemus understood that he had to be born a second time. He just didn't know how to be born again, so he asked Jesus, how can I go into my mother's womb and be born a second time?
You know, I find in the ministry, and I'll really find it when I start my study of church history and preaching it, you find people, when you preach things in detail, you find people that disagree with you. I always do. Even some of you church members disagree with me. I don't know how you put up with me this long. And some people will disagree with what I'm about to say, but put in context what Jesus and Nicodemus are talking about. What are they talking about? Jesus told Nicodemus to be born again. Nicodemus asked him, how can I go in my mother's womb a second time? Which means Nicodemus understood you had to be born a second time. In verse 5, Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That's your second birth. What's the Lord talking about? He's talking about two births, isn't he? Natural birth, which you're born, a mother breaks her water when you're born. I know people try to explain this away as being born of the Word. That's not the second birth, is it? The first birth, is it? The Lord's talking about two births. The natural birth and the spiritual birth. In other words, Jesus said, hey, Nicodemus, you need to be born naturally and you need to be born from above by the Spirit. Let me ask you this. In saying all that, our 85th point is because you cannot be unborn. Can you? Can you? I've never seen anyone be unborn, have you? And here Jesus is comparing the second birth, the spiritual birth, to the first one. And no more can you be unborn naturally than you can spiritually. I had to move on because I had to get to almost 90. Psalms 37, if you will, for our 86th point. So this morning we have learned that the Father reckons us in Christ. All believers will be changed at Christ's coming, all of them, not some of them or part of them, but all of them. Because of the must, that we must be incorruption and must be immortality. 84, the power of God is not limited. In other words, we're kept by God's power. And no one can overpower God, not even us. 85 was, we cannot be unborn, no more spiritually than we are naturally. 86 in Psalms 37, our point is this, because the saints are preserved forever. Look at verse 28. For the Lord loveth judgment, and forsaketh not his saints. And they are preserved forever. But the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. We are preserved. There we are back at the last point of the 5 points of sovereign grace, perseverance and preservation of the saints. The Lord forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved. Temporal, if they don't mess up, if they don't commit bad enough sins, no, forever. That's a promise, folks. How can we reconcile ever escaping our salvation, saved state, if God has preserved us forever? You know what puzzles me about people that believe in works and for salvation? And that is to keep themselves saved. Is what do you got to do to be lost again? When the Lord says, if you break one of the laws, you're guilty of all of them, right? That's what my Bible says. I have a King James, maybe some of the Revised Standard or the Living Bibles or the other interpretations don't have that, but my Bible does have it. The Lord says he has us preserved. Not for a time, not temporarily, but forever. He's promised us in John 3 eternal life. For God so that loved the world that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And all we want to look at is God so loved the world. To hound with the rest of that scripture, it don't mean a thing. What's the stipulation? To believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you do, you shall have eternal life. Because you are saved by the power of God and you are kept by the power of God. But see, people don't realize that because they don't believe in a sovereign God. They like to compare God to a man, and they think he's old, and they think he's got a cane, or maybe he's in a wheelchair, or maybe he's laying on his deathbed. He just don't have the strength to do it himself, so we got to do it for him, because he's an old man. Look how old he is. Stupid! What ignorance of God that is. God needs no help. God is able to finish whatever he starts, Paul said, I believe it's in Philippians. John 6, 87. But what we can be assured of, beloved, is two things. One, God will never forsake his saints. Two, is God has you preserved that you do not get lost, that you do not get unborn. don't even make sense to think that you could. John 6, verse 44 is our 87th point. Because Christ will raise every believer up in the last days. Listen closely. And this just puts it like you're sewing a dress, you ladies, when you make a dress. I know all of you do that. When you make a dress, you sew up every end of it, don't you? I'm sure you don't do it like that, but you sew every end of it, don't you? That's what Father does with salvation. He sews up every end. And his promise is that all of them in Christ, that he gave to Christ before the foundation of the world, and Christ died for on Calvary, and his blood cleansed them from all their sins, he has promised that Christ will raise them up in the last days. But listen here at verse 44. No man, Christ Jesus says, no man, no woman, no child, no dog, no cat, no sheep, nothing. Not that those come. I just wanted to include everything. Because he says man, that means mankind. No man can come unto me except the Father which sent me draw him. Now, I know you know this because I've told you this a hard time. Brother Hammond used to really stretch this point. Look the word draw up and see what it says. The definition in the Greek, according to Strong's, is to drag. I don't mean to drag you by the hair as if you don't want to come. But notice two things here. One is that we can't come except the Father does drag us in. And I will raise him up at the last days, the Lord said. That's a promise, isn't it? Giving all the power to God to save a sinner through Christ, and promising you that those that the Father saves, he will raise him up at the last days. Then it goes back to the Old Testament, to quote the Old Testament here. He says, as it is written in the prophets, and they shall all be all taught of God. Every man thereof that hath heard and hath learned of the Father comes unto me, the Lord says. Not that any man hath seen the Father, except he which is of God, Jesus. He hath seen the Father, and truly, truly, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. And I promise you that I will raise you up in the last days. I will also promise you that I will lose none, not one. Because the Father has you preserved, and you cannot fall from grace. Because we are saved by grace through faith, not of ourselves. Salvation is the gift of God. It's given us to it by the power of God. And we're saved by the power of God in Christ Jesus. And we're preserved by the power of God in Christ Jesus. And we're promised by the Father, Son, both, that we have everlasting life. God says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And you too shall have eternal life. Let's all stand. Justin's going to come. He's going to lead us in a song.